This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
All right, everybody. How we doing? Man, that song had me hyped. I like that beat. So anyway, I always try to, you know, make the music. You guys know me by now. We always try to make the music fit with the emotions of the moment. And, well, the emotions of the moment are, of course, that we won El Clásico. Real Madrid won El Clásico today against Barcelona. You know, which is huge for us. And, you know, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. But at the same time, we have to look at, you know, yeah, it's always good to play a rival, but it's also a Barcelona that is, hasn't been looking too good as of late. However, at the same time, you can never take them lightly. So I'm glad we didn't. There were some things I think we can always do better. But there were some things that, you know, obviously, I don't think Barcelona is the team right now. Besides the fact that they are our biggest rival, I do not think that they're the team that we have to beat. You know, we do have to beat them, of course, but they're not the team to beat in La Liga. I think the team to beat in La Liga is currently, you know, the likes of teams that like Sevilla, teams like Atletico Madrid, teams like Real Sociedad, that put up a good fight against Atletico Madrid today as well. So those are the teams that are going to be competing right now. Real Sociedad is in first place in La Liga. They are the leaders of La Liga, but of course we have a game in hand because of the game that was canceled. I believe it was against Athletic Bilbao that we were supposed to play and that got moved. We have a game in hand over Real Sociedad, and it is always important to win El Clásico. But I definitely think there are things that need to continue to improve. But other than that. I'm really starting to see the things that from Real Madrid that I think we want to see. Obviously, there are some things that could have gone better. There are some things that we could have improved on. But in the end, a win against Barcelona is always going to be an amazing, huge, good thing for us to happen. You know, so I'm happy about it, and I can't say anything more than that. It's an exciting time. It's exciting. So, all right, you know, I'll just put that out, but, it's exciting. Anytime we beat Barcelona, anytime, it's personally for me, and I think for any Madridista, anytime we beat Barcelona, it's extra sweet. And we've beaten them now four different times in a row now. Ancelotti, big dog Ancelotti, the coach of Real Madrid, of course, had never won at the Camp Nou, got his first win at the Camp Nou. So that is also good for him. David Alaba scores his first goal for Real Madrid in none other than El Clásico. So, some great stuff. We'll get into a little bit more about that in a second, about the game. Once again, obviously I didn't do my intro, but I am Eric Rivera. This is Y Nada Más, the Real Madrid podcast. If you are watching right now, you can either listen to me or you can watch the video version of the podcast on our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel, just look it up, Y Nada Más podcast. You will find us there on YouTube. Subscribe, guys. If you are watching me right now, please subscribe. Please tell your friends that are Madridistas, that love Madrid, to subscribe. Help me drive those subscribers up. I don't know how much it is that you need. I think you either need 500 or 1,000 subscribers before you can get your own like vanity URL, which is essentially like, it's not going to be You know, youtube.com/14629300X. That's not going to be my YouTube channel. Essentially, it'll be like slash y nada más podcast or whatever I choose. So I, you know, if once I get the subscribers up, that's when I can do that. So if you guys can help me get there, that would be much appreciated. We are working hard to continue bringing you content. Somebody dropped me a line the other day on YouTube. I'm not looking at the YouTube channel right now, so if I missed your name, I'm sorry, but just wanted to let you know that I did appreciate that. We saw the comment, you know, saying, you know, great content as always and all that kind of stuff. And that, you know, anytime you guys are happy about a video or a podcast, you know, anytime I get a message on Twitter or anything like that, it really makes all the work worthwhile. You know, I just sit here behind the computer. My graphic designer does, you know, the graphic design stuff when I do need to throw of the video out to my editor after I finish recording, you know, and we have to do that. You know, he's doing that work. So, you know, my good friend Trombach, who started out as just a guy I was talking on Twitter, now he's helping me out with articles on the website. So all of us are doing things, you know, and all of us, you know, I think anytime we get feedback and the feedback is positive, it's always great. Especially because, you know, I was talking to my good friend Jota Real Madrid. He has an amazing channel of Real Madrid news on YouTube. I used to do a couple things with him for Real Madrid Hub. But he's focusing more right now on Jota Real Madrid, which is, of course, his Spanish channel, because definitely, you know, the news and the people that listen to Real Madrid information, the majority of them actually tend to be more speak Spanish. So having a Real Madrid podcast in English also just pinpoints a certain market. But of course, a lot of English speaking football fans are fans, of course, of a lot of English-speaking teams, such so, you know, the Premier League and things like that. But Real Madrid, not to be, you know, not to sell Real Madrid short in that regard, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring it up to a new level. There are a couple different podcasts out there of Real Madrid in English, so make sure you guys check them out. Madridista Roundabout, you know, they are some guys that I were on their podcast. My boys Persona and AJ, listen to them. They have a good show as well. Check them out as well. Also, of course, Managing Madrid, they're doing some great things, of course, have always been. They are the OGs when it comes to, you know, the Madrid podcasts in English. So, you know, listen to those guys. Support the whole community. I think it's great, you know, on FT, you know, shout out to a lot of you guys that follow and interact with me. You know, really, it's an enjoyable experience to kind of share in our sadness, share in our happiness, share in our nervousness, anxiety, of course, in each one of these games. But of course, you know, like I said, today we have something to celebrate, a great game by Real Madrid to play, of course, Barcelona, which are our, of course, bitter rivals. So that was good. It's good to share that all with you guys. You can follow me, of course, on Twitter. That is where I am mostly interacting, and that is myself interacting. That you can check it out at Y Nada Más Podcast on Twitter. On Facebook, I'm at Y Nada Más Podcast as well. We're just throwing up different things on the Facebook page, images, articles. It's kind of a group of everything, you know. I don't know if, you know, a lot of you guys kind of go towards the younger demographic, so I'm pretty sure you're either on Twitter or on Instagram. Probably don't even do the Facebook anymore. That's kind of like for us older folk. But, you know, just letting you know we're there as well. In addition, we also have, of course, our Instagram, which is YNM Podcast. So if you guys are on Instagram, even if you don't use it that much, head on over to Instagram, you know, give us a subscribe, you know, give us a follow. It helps us out, of course, to grow. And then, of course, if you are listening to the podcast on whether, you know, it's Spotify, whether it's Google Podcasts, you know, we're everywhere that podcasts are found. I thank you very much for all of that. But, of course, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, I always say, please, please leave us a review. Leave us a comment, because it helps us rise up in the ranks there on Apple Podcasts and gets us more visibility, of course. So that is very important for us to just keep rising up and, you know, to hear from you guys. That's great to hear from you guys. If you want to drop us a line via email, check us out at info@ynadamas.net. Like I said, we have been looking for more writers in the past, but we're currently, as I started heading back to the office of my day job, I've kind of got to balance everything of watching football and make sure I'm watching football kind of on the side there, as you know, especially during the Champions League games. Kind of got to look at this, you know, kind of have to have a little window open that I can like open and close just in case the boss walks by. So I need to do that and just make sure I'm still focusing on my day job, as well as doing this, of course, for all of you guys. So as I'm balancing all that out, and the guys that will help me out here on the podcast also balance their day jobs, we're gonna try to bring in some more people. I'm actually thinking about moving the studio to another room in the house that's got more space. You know, ultimately, my goal is to. Well, you know what? We'll talk about that another time. But let's get into the game, because I don't want to make this one too long. And the reason I don't want to make it too long is it's late at night. It's like midnight right now when I'm doing this podcast. I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to take my kids to school. So, and we won. And the funny thing about winning is winning games. And that's the one thing, winning doesn't bring a dramatic narrative, you know, unless there's like a polemica, unless there's like a controversy, which I guess you could say there was a little bit here, but not too much. Unless there was controversy or anything like that, there's not a lot of stuff to talk about except, you know, just talk about how great the win was and everything like that. And we can analyze some stats, which we're going to do in a second. We can look at some stats and, you know, really give an opinion on the game. And that's pretty much it. So I want to keep it short. I always say I want to keep it short. And then I end up rambling on for about an hour. So because part of it is that I just, as things come to my head, I start speaking and I start saying, you know, I start remembering things that I saw during the game or whatnot. So anyway, the game, of course, you know, in the lead up, there's obviously a lot of narratives going on, of course, with this season. Of course, Barcelona playing, just they've been terrible. Of course, they're not playing well at all. They were sitting in what? I think they were sitting in. Before this game, I think they were sitting in like fifth place or something like that. They are now bumped down to ninth place with this loss. I mean, let's be real. This is not the Barcelona of old. This is not Barcelona with Messi. This is not Barcelona with, their star players, you know, with Suarez and Griezmann or Neymar or Xavi or Iniesta. This is a team that has really, really, really dropped in quality over the last few years. A lot of because of the fact that they, of course, lost a huge player. But a lot of it due to, unfortunately, mismanagement. And mismanagement that caused them to, of course, be in the situation that they are, where they can't really buy any players. And the ones they do, or the ones they have to dip into, you know, La Masia and try to bring up people to the youth ranks. And of course, it is going to take time to rebuild that project. In addition, you know, they really went at, one thing I don't agree with is like, I don't even care. Like, honestly, I love banter. I like banter. I like listening to banter. Sometimes if it borders on disrespect, like I'm not going to pay attention to it. I try not to disrespect players and things like that, because at the end of the day, they're professionals and they do something that we would all love to do, but probably could not even get close to doing. We're not anywhere near that level. So I always feel like people like that need to be shown a little bit of respect, even, and they're entertaining us and all that kind of stuff. You're not paying them. People say, oh, it's because they earn a lot of money or whatnot. You're not paying them. The money's not coming out of your pocket. So unless you're betting on this shit, which I don't advise, they really don't owe you anything except other than the fact that you're huge fans, of course. And, they play, of course, because it's their career. They play also, a lot of them do play because they believe in the shield and el escudo. They believe in the crest. And that is always great to see as fans. But, I mean, to pass that line of becoming a fan and disrespecting is something that I can never condone, I guess. I see sometimes it happens, you know, that's why I always get on people that I feel like are Madridistas, like, you know, kind of the reactionary crew of Madridistas that I see sometimes. A lot of them tend to be from Spain when I'm reading a lot of the Spanish press or Spanish Twitter from Spain, you know, speaking of when they're fans of Real Madrid in Spain. You know, they can be downright disrespectful. They can be terrible to the team. They can be, you know, and one slip up is the end of the world. But, you know, kind of what we saw with Barcelona today, I mean, it's just like, you know, Koeman's car being attacked and kicked and spit on and all sorts of shit like that. I mean, that's like, that's completely uncalled for. It's Barcelona, so, you know, it's just, you know, a sign of a bunch of assholes that follow them, that follow Barcelona. It's not indicative of everybody that I think follows Barcelona. I have plenty of friends that follow Barcelona. But I would say I would be disgusted by the same thing, the same treatment of any player that is from Real Madrid or any coach that is from Real Madrid. You know, if we ever do badly, that badly, and it has happened in the past. It has happened in the past. It's happened with guys like Gareth Bale. It has happened with, you know, it has happened with certain players that they're yelled at. You know, their cars are kicked or whatever. It's just stupid, man. I mean, I just don't get it. And probably none of you that are like none of the people that did that stuff are listening. But I'm just saying, if any of you are that fiery about it, you got to find a new hobby, man. You know, try to. You know, I used to box. I used to teach Muay Thai and MMA. And you know, if you need to get out some aggression, do that. You know, but yeah, some really sad scenes about that, about Barcelona. I mean, because at the end of the day, even though they are our rivals, and even though I'd like to see them, you know, descend into the second division and see them continue to do badly and us continue to beat the crap out of them, what I don't like is the sport to be tainted by that, you know, like stupid shit like that. So that's just rough to see. Because at the end of the day, I mean, and it's crazy because Koeman is like a guy who was a hero for them. You know, the first Champions League they ever won was because he was a part of the team that did so. So not only is it's not just some any dude that's coaching Barcelona. It's a guy that is kind of, you know, it's quote unquote a legend of Barcelona. That's why I kind of hated, you know, all the people that talk about Zidane out and talk shit about Zidane. And I would hate it. I hated it like from the people on El Chiringuito. It's like, dude, this guy has done so much for Madrid. He's done more than any of the talking heads and any of the people on Twitter that, you know, badmouth him have ever done for Real Madrid. They claim they're the biggest fans of Real Madrid, but they have not done not like one iota as much as this guy has done for Real Madrid. Speaking of Zidane, you know, 3 Champions Leagues as a coach back to back. You know, he's won La Ligas. He's done and a crazy amount of accomplishments, of course, as a player. It's just ridiculous. You know, there's no way that you can say there's any way to badmouth him. Of course, you know, his failures or his hiccups at some point in the past season also were due to other facts that were extracurricular. So it's crazy, you know. But anyway, that shit aside and all that weirdness aside, like I said, the game. It was... once again, you know, going into, you know, all of this stuff talking about, you know, Barcelona's reaction and all that stuff is because they are going through a crisis. They are definitely going through a crisis. So at the same time, while we can be happy that we won this game and while we can, of course, love to beat on a rival, as I was saying at the beginning, this is not the team to beat in La Liga. I think Atletico is still the team to beat in La Liga. We have not played them yet. Real Sociedad is one of the teams we have to keep an eye on, of course. We can't slip up against the other, you know. Our job is to beat the top teams, but then also not to slip up against the smaller teams in La Liga. You know, we have Osasuna coming up. Last season, we had a complete dud of a game against Osasuna. You know, we've already had duds this season. You know, we've had draws with Villarreal. We've had losses to Espanyol. We cannot have that happen. Now, obviously, the win against Shakhtar was a big improvement. And then, of course, the win over Barcelona is also big. But we also got to remember that this is a Barcelona that is currently sitting in 9th place. So there are other teams in La Liga that can still and will always regardless of, you know, where they are on the position in the table. Right now, this is not the absolutely dominant, will destroy anybody put in front of them Real Madrid. This is a Real Madrid that is also evolving, that is also overcoming a difficult situation last season with injuries and with people leaving. And of course, you know, two huge players in the likes of Sergio Ramos and Varane leaving. Of course, still recovering from, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo leaving, you know, years ago, a couple of years ago. So it's still trying to evolve. But we have an absolute star right now that is continuing to show in these games. I mean, Vinicius today in that first half was just bonkers to me. I mean, if anybody, you know, we posted a thing on Instagram about this being sort of the new Clásico. The new Clásico is essentially going to be, I mean, everything is pointing to that the new Clásico is definitely, the new stars of El Clásico are definitely going to be Vinicius and Ansu Fati. You know, as our kind of guys that are from, young guys that started at Madrid, you know, and I guess not started at Madrid as they came from, they came up in Madrid, but they started their careers at Madrid at a very young age. Vinicius at 18, Ansu Fati, what was he, like 17 or whatnot? So they're young kids, young guys, young guns. Whoever comes, I mean, obviously, if Mbappe does end up coming, you know, to Real Madrid, obviously he's going to be another star. But the new Clásico, obviously, I guess that rivalry of guys that are kind of representative of Real Madrid right now is definitely Vinicius and Ansu Fati, this new Clásico. And Vinicius showed up today and Ansu Fati did not. You know, there were so many points in this game where Vinicius just danced. I mean, that offside play where he receives the ball and basically dances around Ter Stegen and then dances around Ter Stegen like once or twice and the defense and has the defense of Barcelona going every which way he's turning. That just demonstrates the talent that this guy has. Obviously, it was an offside. He didn't score a goal or anything like that, but it was just once again another, you know, Mingueza could not do anything against Vinicius. I mean, the pass... Actually, the recovery. So Alaba recovers the ball for the first goal. So let's go into the game. The first goal, which, of course, is a beauty of a goal. Alaba recovers the ball from Memphis Depay in our own defensive half. You know, is, you know, muscling off Memphis Depay, who's not a small dude either, who is a physical guy. He muscles him out. He muscles Memphis Depay off of him. Gives the pass to Vinicius. Vinicius is able to squeeze past Mingueza, then blows past Mingueza, essentially, you know, makes a beautiful pass all the way pretty much across the field, changing sides, essentially, and going to out all the way to Rodrigo, even though Alaba was the one asking for the pass, goes all the way out to Rodrigo. Rodrigo is, you know, coming in at full speed. Benzema is coming in at full speed. And Alaba is booking it after having just recovered the goal, the ball from Memphis Depay in our own defensive half, has booked it all the way to three quarters of the field up into Barcelona territory and receives a beautiful pass. So Vinicius passes it out to Rodrigo. Rodrigo passes it back to Alaba, who's running, and Alaba looks up. You can see he looks up twice. I think he evaluates his options. The only other person there is Benzema. Benzema is, you know, looks to be covered. He goes for a shot on goal. Beautiful goal. So essentially, key pass there from Vinicius to get everything started. Alaba, obviously, of course, getting it started with that steal and that recovery of the ball against Memphis Depay. But that was a beautiful goal. And, you know, just throughout the game, he was toying with the Barcelona defense. And he was fantastic. Vinicius was fantastic. Alaba, of course, I would say man of the match performance because, of course, you know, he had the highest rating. Whether you look at SofaScore, I'm looking at FotMob here as well. Whether you look at any of these apps, he got the highest rating, of course, of the game. Absolutely spectacular. You know, he has shown time and again to just be aware defensively. just, you know, his defensive awareness, his understanding. And I think after the game, they asked him a question of, you know, what made him just, you know, decide to go up and shoot the ball? What made him decide to shoot the ball? And he said it was just at that point. Is just, you know, these guys are professionals, you know. So at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of nuances. When you train something day in and day out, it becomes muscle memory. So it's something that, you know, it's hard for them to explain it. But at the same time, he said, you know, it was a feeling he had. It was an instinct. He saw the opportunity and went for it, you know. So, you know, we know he has the ability to shoot. He showed that when he was with Bayern. He had, you know, he has... scored free kicks. He has, you know, scored goals with Bayern. He has a wicked left foot, and he can do, you know, he can shoot, you know, so he adds not only defensively, but he adds to the attack. And once again, that awareness of understanding, like he himself stated, it's, you know, he kind of knows when he can move up, when he can go up and help out the attack, and there's knows when he needs to stick around or stay back in order to defend. You know, one thing I've liked that I've seen a lot of this Real Madrid team, at least in the last two games, obviously I said again, 4-3-3, that is our formation. We played very, very, again, today, that counterattack, both goals were on the counter. That counter-attacking football has been Real Madrid's bread and butter style for quite some time now, if not for as long as I remember the football of Real Madrid and watching football with Real Madrid. It has been that fast counter-attacking style, you know, getting up the pitch, racing up the pitch after, you know, after the other team could not finalize either the play or were able to recover the ball. And then we're able to move it up the pitch as quickly as possible because we have quick players, quick passing. We understand how to get out of, you know, of the other team's press, let's say, and we're able to counter and score goals that way. And both goals today were essentially just wicked counterattacking football. And it was beautiful to see, especially against Barcelona in the Camp Nou. I just hope it keeps up. And that's what remains to be seen. You know, we left them off the hook a lot. You know, we let them off the hook a lot. Like I'm looking right now at the FOT Mob stats. I had some other stats that I could throw on the screen right now, but I didn't have them ready. So let's see if they can. Can you see if you can put it up? All right. Well, anyway, I'll see if they can. See if one of my guys here can put it up. But anyway, the expected goals. So FOTMOB, I think there was stats that were all different. So FOTMOB had the expected goals at 1.66 for Real Madrid, 1.53 for Barcelona. So you could see it was a tight game. It was a tight game because if we look at, you know, total shots, Barcelona actually had more, 12 shots to Real Madrid's 10. Shots on target, though, Real Madrid had 5, so 50% of our shots were on target. 50% of our shots were on target, whereas only 2 shots for Barcelona out of their 12 were on target. 6 shots were off target. And, you know, besides that, you know, the shots, 9 out of 10 of the shots were taken. 9 out of the 10 shots that we had were taken from inside the box. Only 1 shot was from outside the box. So, and you know, our expected goal percentage was expected goal rating was 1.66. In the first half, we were actually behind Barcelona in the expected goals. In the first half, the expected goals 0.36. We were actually taking the harder shots, not getting as many chances. And then, of course, Barcelona had a rating of 0.64 in the first half. But they missed. I mean, that shot that Memphis Depay missed wide open right in front of was a sitter. That could have changed the game for Real Madrid. He missed that shot, and then, you know, they paid for that one because How on earth he missed that? Of course, you know, he's human, and all these players, there have been misses from even the best guys. But that was a wide open shot, and I think that would have changed the game, essentially. So they had definitely a better percentage in the first half of chances in the first half than we did. In the second half, we had an expected goal rating of 1.31 to their 0.88. You know, we were letting them off the hook once again. We were letting them off the hook quite a few times. Some great shots from Ben, a great shot by Benzema that hit Ter Stegen, that shot that he took on the volley after a pass from Modric. It was one of my favorite moves of the day. I would have loved for him to score that. But it did not go in. Then another opportunity where he got mixed up pretty much in the box. I believe it was a pass from, a grounded cross from Mendy, I would like to say. And Benzema got to the end of it, but then got all mixed up and couldn't basically put it back in the end of, put it back into the net. I don't know if it would have been offsides. It looked like it was a little bit offside, but we wouldn't know unless he had scored it and they would have to, you know, draw up lines and take a look at it. But I don't see it was being called offside. So definitely, once again, the issue for Barcelona, of course, was that their finishing was definitely not good. Piqué missed that header. It went just a little bit wide, which was another scary moment there. Where Real Madrid had a chance. With Barcelona had a chance. So they missed their chances while Real Madrid very much took, got the, at least capitalized on the opportunities that they did have, at least more so than Barcelona did. Barcelona passed more. They had the possession. There was all that. So they were doing well. And, with their passing and everything like that. But most of their passes, of course, were done in the opposition half. They had better pass success. But besides that, it's been very much the story of Barcelona where they have the possession of the ball and they move around the ball well and they have more passing and they have more possession, but nothing comes to fruition. It's just almost like, and I think Pedro Edol said it on El Chiringuito, where Barcelona essentially plays a game to win possession, but not to win the game. You know, so it's kind of like that argument of, you know, their style and, you know, their style being super important to them. And that's how they're going to get, you know, that's how that they don't want to move away from that style. So essentially that becomes a problem because if they don't move away from that style, well, they're going to and they don't focus on their stats. Well, here's the thing we're moving in here to here on screen. So you guys that are listening. So here are the top stats. These were pulled from FotMob, I believe. FotMob, Rob. Okay, so 1.53. So FotMob had the expected goals. Once again, the expected goal rated 1.66 for Real Madrid, 1.53 for Barcelona. Total shots 12 by Barcelona. Total shots 10 by Real Madrid. Chances created, they actually created more, just one more than us. 12 chances created to our 11. And you can see here, 52% possession to Real to Barcelona, with only 48% to Real Madrid. But at the end of the day, it's always kind of been like that with Barcelona. So, you know, we ended up scoring the chances that we did get, and that's what's important. So, Alaba's stats that I pulled up on the screen for you guys that are listening. I'm pulling up some stuff on the screen here. Alaba obviously was just amazing. I mean, essentially tackles, clearances, he had two clearances, one block. He blocked one shot, blocked a tackle. I'm sorry, made a tackle. He made one cross, was unsuccessful. Five long balls, two of them were successful. A shot on target, one shot on target, which was a goal, of course. And he had 92% accurate passing. So He was just very solid on the pitch for us today, and you know, got that pretty much that man of the match performance, scoring once again his first goal with Real Madrid for Real Madrid at El Clásico. So that has to be a really good, exciting thing for Alaba. So, you know, I'm happy because I've always liked him as a player. I know people that were against him coming, essentially, you know, because we were still worried about renewing Sergio Ramos. But, you know, I think we would be in a bad way had this guy not arrived and Baran and Sergio Ramos left. So he has done a lot of stuff for us already. I think he's just hit the ground running, really, for Real Madrid, and has done really well. You know, just to, and he's already, you can already see he's got that a leadership mentality. He's constantly talking to the back line. He's trying to, you know, he's making gestures and things like that to try to tell them, you know, he was telling Vinicius to pass to him, although Vinicius chose to go out to Rodrigo first, which was a good decision at the end. You know, a goal came of it, but you know, he's been just absolutely solid. I would say at the end of the game, the one goal that Barcelona was able to score, you know, I don't know if Kun Agüero would have scored it had Alaba slipped, or I don't know if he slipped trying to get back into position, or trying to run back because he realized or was aware that the pass was going to go to Kun Agüero and that he had overrun Kun Agüero essentially. And so would now need to return in order to cover him. Well, so he slips. So essentially, I don't know if he would have made it back, or if he had slipped. If he hadn't slipped, would he have been able to get like a foot in or something like that? At the end of the day, yeah, we got a goal scored on, and that's something we want to avoid. But against a team the likes of Barcelona, you know, that has players that can score, you know, that is something that can happen, especially somebody like Kun Agüero, even though he's, you know, older and whatnot. He still is a fantastic player. So you give him the opportunity to shoot, he's going to shoot, and he's going to take that opportunity. And that was an easy goal, really, for Barcelona. But besides that, Alaba, you know, besides that, and I can't really blame him for that, he was solid throughout the entire game, and really has shown that defensive solidity, I think, regardless of the weaknesses we were showing in defense. It really had to do with, you know, just at the end of the day, players being out of position. Players being out of position, whether it was, you know, Nacho playing on the left side, not having a proper right back. So in this case, you know, Lucas Vazquez playing in that position, or Nacho playing in that position, and somebody that's newer like Miguel playing as a left back. So not having our tried and true starters. Not to say Miguel is bad. I love Miguel. I think he's going to be really, really good. I hope we see more of him because obviously he should be an option besides Mendy. But you could tell the difference since Mendy has stepped in. Carvajal actually had a solid game today. I liked what I saw from Carvajal, so I'm not going to complain about... sorry, not Carvajal. Lucas Vazquez. So I'm not going to complain about Lucas Vazquez. You know, usually I do, but he had a solid game today. Scored a goal for us. You know, he's always got that workman-like mentality, and he's going to try and go for things. Even if he's going to screw up sometimes, he's going to try to go for things. And, you know, this is two games now where he has been involved in the goals. I mean, it was his cross that to Benzema that essentially started off the route that we had of Shakhtar, where the defender trying to clear the ball, trying to clear that cross from getting to Benzema, ends up putting it back in his own net. So, you know, Vazquez was involved in that play. And now today he was involved in the goal after Asensio shoots on goal. Ter Stegen parries the ball, and it falls to the feet. Well, actually, it doesn't fall to the feet. It falls into open space. Both Eric Garcia of Barcelona and Lucas Vazquez are running towards the ball. Lucas Vazquez is able to get a foot in and score the second goal of the game to put us up 2-0. And that was right before Kun Agüero scores and gets the 2-1. So I think everyone had a pretty solid showing today. Toni Kroos, of course, I think he had something like ridiculous, like 98% pass accuracy. as always, just the control in the midfield. Casemiro is the one that I still, he's still not at his best. I think sometimes he has, you know, he makes some errant passes, you know, definitely when he tries to go for, I see a lot of times Casemiro tries to do like back heels and fancy passes. When really, man, like his job is to really just get it to, I think he's got to get it out to Modric or Kroos or to one of the forwards as quick as possible. And then sometimes he just makes bad decisions when it comes to, you know, he's just not the best long passer sometimes. So it's, it, I don't know if it's just lately, but it seems like he's made a few more mistakes lately. But I mean, either way, today, you know, it wasn't that it was bad or anything like that. It was just something I noticed that he still had these little, he still is having those little bit of errors here and there. I thought Modric was fantastic as well. I would have loved to see that assist that he gave to Benzema for that volley. If that ball had gone in, it would have been a spectacular assist by Modric. Just overall, once again, Luka Modric doing what he does at 36 years old is just a phenomenal player. And Rodrigo actually was getting into position, doing some, you know, he had that pass. Beautiful job there. And actually, let me pull up the stats here of Vini. Vini, once again, obviously, he blew me away in the first half. I was so excited to watch him play. He was a little quieter in the second half, but, you know, dribble attempts. He attempted 8 dribbles, 4 of them being successful, 84% accurate passing. He had a key pass. He had 2 long balls, so two long passes, essentially. Both of them were successful. One, you know, 9, so he had essentially 20, almost 20 ground duels, 19 ground duels. He won 10 of them, so he essentially won more than 50% of his ground duels. You know, he was drawing fouls. He was fouled 6 times. He was drawing fouls. He was making it a nightmare for defenders. I honestly think, I don't know, man, that first time that he dribbles past Mingueza and Mingueza like checks him in the box kind of thing. Like, I guess his thigh hit him. I don't know. I don't know how the penalties work, but it seemed to me like it was a penalty, but whatever. At the end of the day, we still won the game. But I felt, I don't know. I don't know how I would have felt if that penalty would have been called, because had it been called against us, I probably wouldn't have wanted that penalty to be called. So I'll be real there. I don't know, at least for me, if that was a penalty. I know there was a big shout for it, but I don't know if I would have been comfortable. Because you always got to ask yourself, would you be comfortable if it had gone the other way? You know, if Ansu Fati was running into the box and it was Militao that bumped him like that, would you feel comfortable that that was a penalty? I honestly wouldn't. So that was, you know, for me, that penalty shout, you know, it was good that it wasn't called. You know, it's always sucks to sometimes these controversies of no calls or whatnot. I don't think there was anything clear, really, that was a clear no call. Actually, the one thing that I saw, and I didn't see this until after the game, so, you know, any of you guys that are listening, please hit me up and comment on it. I saw something about, I don't know, it was Frankie De Jong or somebody. So they call us offsides, and Frankie De Jong essentially takes the ball out from our own half, which you're not supposed to do. And essentially, that is where the goal for Barcelona ends up happening. So I didn't really see it. I mean, I don't know the rules about that. So if you guys can hit me up and let me know. I mean, I didn't know that it came from there, and then that VAR didn't do anything about it. Or maybe it's just like, to me, it's rules are rules. So I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, oh, VAR will let something go because they did, they gave the upper, since maybe it was already towards the end of the game. They're like, ah, screw it, give it to them. I mean, rules are rules. You got to keep them. So, if it was illegal and it should not happen, it's just one of those other things that VAR being inconsistent, where, you know, you have to look at that. And especially if it was a goal, if it led to a goal, they have to analyze how that goal came to pass. Then they should have pulled it back, if that is in fact true. Because I only saw one comment about it, so I'm not 100% sure. So if you guys know about that rule where it wasn't I guess it was, we were called offside, and then Frankie de Jong pass, he takes the free kick for the offside call from within our own half, when it was called further back, I guess. And that's what led to the goal. So I don't know the rules on that, essentially. I'm not all knowing. I'm just a guy who loves football. So that's about it. At the end of the day, just to kind of give you the overall stats here too, it was funny, 46, both teams had 90 duels, when you're talking about whether they were ground duels or aerial duels. Both of them had 90, and 17 dribbles attempted by Real Madrid to 10 by Barcelona. 9 were successful by Real Madrid to 7 of Barcelona. Tackles attempted, they actually won more tackles. We won more aerial duels. We had more. They had more interceptions, just slightly. So it was actually, if you look at the numbers, it was a very, very tight game stat-wise. But where we excelled was that we were able to finish our chances. So once again, it's a huge deal for Barcelona, because at the end of the day, it shows that once again, losing a guy like Messi, losing guys like Luis Suarez, losing guys like Griezmann, who have more of a tendency to finish their chances, especially if you look at guys like Luis Suarez, who score pretty much a lot of the chances they get, they have done a terrible job of letting go of the players that essentially were scoring goals for them and not bringing anybody in to stop that. And to make up for that. And it's going to be very difficult for them, I think, this season. And all the better for us as Madridistas. But like I said, I don't think they're the team to compete against. The team, it's going to be against Atletico. It's going to be against Sevilla. It's going to be against Real Sociedad. It's going to be against these teams that are at the top of the table right now. And those at the top of the table, like those shots that go errant, those that miss from Benzema, like those miscommunications and passes, like those little attempts, those attempts that we let teams off the hook. We could have been up maybe 3-0 over Barcelona, and that we let them off the hook and essentially made the game, I think, more nerve-wracking for all of our fans up until, the 90th minute, 90-something minute, which was when Lucas Vázquez scores. He scores in the 90th minute, essentially. Was it the 90th minute? Why does it say here? 90 minute. It was 90 minute plus. So 7 minutes were added. This doesn't give me the exact minute it was done in. But it was 90 plus minutes. I think it was like 92 or 93. 93rd minute, Lucas Vázquez puts it up. So essentially, they had us on, they had a lot of Madridistas, a lot of us, waiting until the very last minute of the game to know that we were essentially going to take it home. Because that 2-0, of course, at that moment already kind of puts it in the bag. Even Agüero at that last minute scores that one goal. And, that was like at the 6 minute and 30 second mark of extra time. So 90, 96 minute or something. So it makes sense that the winner was Lucas Vázquez's goal. So we can't continue to let those chances, especially against these teams, especially when it goes into the Champions League. We have to play, of course, we have to play Inter again. We have to play Shakhtar again. We have to play Sheriff Tiraspol again. We have to make up for, definitely you have to make up against that loss against Sheriff. And like we did to Shakhtar, hopefully we can, put five against Sheriff in Moldova. But we can't, like I said, once again, we can't be missing these chances. And then also, defensive mistakes, not too many defensive mistakes, I would say, in this game, I think overall it's getting more solid. And having, once again, one of the things that's big to me is having Carvajal once again healthy. I don't know. I haven't seen any reports right now about Fede Valverde. He went off the field. He was subbed on and then was subbed off. So he was subbed on at the 72nd minute and then was subbed off again in the 90th minute to bring on Dani Carvajal. So it's going to be interesting to see what they say about that. That would be a big loss because he is somebody that's important for us to have on the bench, or important when Modric needs rest, you know, to rotate those guys. He is one of our best midfielders, no doubt, and he can start as well interchangeably with, you know, with Modric, with Casemiro, with whoever. So I really think that's going to be interesting to see what they're going to say about him. Hopefully it's nothing serious. But it is good to have Dani Carvajal back, because that back line with Ferland Mendy, with Alaba, Militao, and Dani Carvajal is going to be something to watch. I think that defense, if Mendy continues to play like he is, if Alaba plays like he's playing, Militao, if they're, you know, they're starting to really gel together, and with Carvajal added to that, I start thinking that our defensive problems become less and less. Our midfield is solid. And I think right now our attackers, with the likes of Vinicius and Benzema and Rodrigo as well, doing really well. I really think sky's the limit. Obviously it's going to be hard to fight against the big teams in the Champions League, but Real Madrid has a team to compete. They're young. There's a lot of young players as well. There's a lot of experience as well. So there's that combination of both, and they're playing well. They're playing well. They're looking good. They're motivated. They're beating, you know, they're beating like I said, anytime you win against Barcelona, I think that sets a tone, because it's a rival. It's an important rival. It sets a tone. So I think it is very important that we won this game today. And that's it, man. I mean, I'm just happy. I'm just happy that we won it. I don't want to go on too much. I'm already rambling. So that is my rant for today, essentially. So I like this song. This beat that they chose, they chose for me today. I liked it a lot. I always like to play some hip hop because I love hip hop. I'm a hip hop head. So just want to say, you know, thank you again for listening, guys. I'm excited as all of you for, of course, this win against Barcelona. What do you guys think? Osasuna is up next. We can never take teams like Osasuna lightly. We've lost against guys like them in the past, so we have to take that very seriously. And it's really like a step-by-step approach. But I'm starting to see everything is coming together. Ancelotti stopped his experimentation, and we're going back to that 4-3-3, which has looked solid. And the football we saw today was really reminiscent, of course, of the football of old for Real Madrid. That really, really vertical, fast, you know, counter-attacking football. And that's how we got both of those goals. And I really feel like that is going to pay dividends for us in the rest of La Liga, in the rest of the season, also in Copa del Rey, in the Champions League. I'm seeing a solid. You know, there's going to be hiccups, guys. We're going to lose some games, but I feel like this team can compete. But it's going to be against these other teams. I mean, Barcelona, great to win against them, but like I said, they're in such bad way right now that they're not even the team that I'm worried about. You know, I'm worried about the other big dogs that are in La Liga right now, and even the small teams that have given us a run for our money in the past. So that's it, guys. That is this episode of Y Nada Más. I am your host, Eric Rivera. And of course, as you see there on the ticker, follow us on social media at Y Nada Más Podcast on Twitter, at Y Nada Más on Facebook, and at Y Nada Más, at YNM Podcast on Instagram, if you want to see all the stuff we're posting up there. Also check out, of course, our website, ynadamas.net. And of course, check us out on all social media platforms. All the podcasting platforms to listen to the podcast: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. And then check us out on YouTube, Y Nada Más Podcast. Look us up on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification button. And that's it, guys. Thank you very much for joining me. It was great again to talk to all of you, and I will see you again. Hopefully, I'll do one quick one after the Osasuna game this week. So thanks again, guys, and we'll talk again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.